where it discusses the chafsa shel tefillin, the makeup, how you create a tefillin. This month, on the bottom of Tanilam Lamed Hei Amud Bet, on the bottom, we're going to talk about the mitzvah of hanachat tefillin, how one should put on tefillin. These are obviously the two components: what is tefillin, and how one puts it on to be yotzei to the mitzvah. The first sugi here on Daf Lamed Hei Amud Bet, we have a number of memorot of Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel, Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Bidri Amar Rav, Amar Rav Acha Aricha, Amar Rav Puniv, Amar Rav Menasi, Amar Shmuel, Tefillin Meimatai Mevarach Aleihen. From what point? Gemara says, Mishat Hanachatan. Rashi says, Mashma Le'achar Sheheinichon. Mishat Hanachatan. Eini, Amar Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel, same Shmuel, Kol Mitzvah Kulim Mevarach Aleihen Over La'asiyatan. Supposed to make the bracha before. This is a very famous principle we're all familiar with. I'll just point out that there's a very interesting formulation of this principle. Over la'asiyatan. As opposed to maybe the most natural formulation would have been? Kodem la'asiyatan. The fact that it's a different formulation, we have to ask ourselves whether that should show us that the din is not as kodem as you would have thought it would be. Anyway, we have this stira, in quote, in the words of Shmuel, the earlier Amara, come along the later Amarayim, Abai and Rava, and they say, Mishasanocha yachas kshira. Okay? Within this time frame. And obviously the question here is, what does that mean? How do we answer the question? How does this answer the question? We had a question. It needs to be over la'asiyatan. Bayan Rav say, Mishasanach v'achas k'shira. Where's the answer? I think what the answer to the question is hinges on how you understand what they mean, and what the initial Shmuel means in the halacha of Mishasanachatan. I think there's two ways of how you can formulate it. The first is that one may make the bracha even after the hanacha. The second way of formulating what the halacha is a sharper formulation, which is not that one may make the bracha after the hanacha, but that one must make the bracha after the hanacha. And frankly, this seems to be pashup shat. Right? Mishas hanachasam. You have to do it then. This seems to be a machlok svishonu. Rabbeinu Yerucham, on the one hand, quoted by the Kesef Mishnah, seems to understand that the halacha is you may, while the Rambam presents it in a way that sounds like you must. All right, let's take a look at the first source on page 2. The first source on page 2, the Rambam says, V'chol mitzvos kulam mevarach aleihen kodem la'asiyatan. Interestingly, the Rambam uses the word kodem as opposed to over. Lefikach, as an outgrowth, tzarech levarach, al hatfila shel yad achar hanocha al hakiboros kodem kshirasam. Tzarech shekshiratan zo yasiyatan. The Kesef Mishnah discusses in reference to the Rambam, in relation to the Rambam, these two ideas. In the second pshat, he quotes Rabbeinu Yerucham, who says that it's that you may make the bracha even then. And we'll get back to that. But in this first pirush, which is pashut pshat in the Rambam, he says v'yesh lomar. What does he say? The din of over la'asiyatan teaches not just that you need to break the bracha before, but that you need to make the bracha in conjunction, right before. And he says this is what the word over means. That's why the word is used. In his Sefer, the Beis Yosef, the Ritva adds that this concept is that it needs to be kodem la'asiyatan as opposed to kodem de kodem. Let's take a look at the Namuke Yosef, which is an earlier source for this concept of the Beis Yosef, who I think not only says this point, but uses it to explain our sugya. Let's take a look. The Namuke Yosef, by me, it's Chedem and Aleph, Bedape Arif, Divra Maschal, Over, V'chule. Over, Kodem, La'asiyatan. Milashen Vayavar Sakushi. Velo Amar Kodem, Sheisiyom Sheyakdim Habracha Harbe, La'asiyata. Ela Over, Ki Ish Haratz Lifnei Chavero, V'chavero Mizarez Atzmol Hasigo, Umakdimo. Passing by. Rushing, almost catching up to the Bracha. Next, Divra Maschal. Mishas Hanocha V'chule. Havizmana levarech over la'asiyasa. Right, the first of Maschal flows into the second one. Because I explained what over means, that's why we do it mishas hanocha, because it has to be mamish mamish connected to the mitzvah. Any questions about this idea of whether what we're saying is that you may make the bracha even after anacha, or that you must make the bracha after anacha because it needs to be tamud, right? Connected right before the mitzvah. Okay, I believe that one can connect this question to how one understands the din of over la'asiyat at its root. And in general, we make these connections, right, between the scope of a halacha and its base. The scope we're talking about, can it be, you know, any time before, or does it have to be right before? This scope question would assumably depend on the root of why we need over la'asiyat. If we take a look at the bottom of page 2, there's a very famous ritva where he says that the reason for the mitzvah is that a person should sanctify themselves through the bracha. And then he adds, and express v'yagala v'yodia. I'm translating with one English word, but v'yagala means reveal, and v'yodia means let people know. I'm calling that express, but I want people to know expressly what he's saying. V'yagala v'yodia shehu osa otam mipnei mitzvah Hashem Yisbarach. That's basically what the bracha is, right? First thing the Ritva says is a way of sanctifying oneself. Beautiful. One could even say you sanctify yourself by expressing this idea that we're doing it not because we love the color black and think it goes well with our white shirt, but we're doing it as a mitzvah of Hashem. And even if we know that, we should express that and let people know that, right? We're doing this as a mitzvah. We're doing this as a mitzvah, right? That's the first thing the Ritva says. And then he adds, Va'od, ki abrachos me'avodas ha'nefesh, v'roi lahaktim avodas ha'nefesh, Lamala, I assume the mitzvah, right? The mitzvah she avodas haguf. Everyone understands the second point of the ritva. Avodas hanefesh comes before avodas haguf. What's the difference between the first pshat and the second pshat? The first pshat is that basically we want the bracha to be before the mitzvah to define the mitzvah, right? We should be holier and the mitzvah should be clearly done as a mitzvah. The second pshat is saying mitzvah bracha, right? We want the bracha to be done first because it's avodas hanefesh. I think one can connect the question we just asked to this question in the following way. If it's mitzvah the bracha that we want avodas hanefesh to be before avodas haguf, so it just has to be before. It has to be like right before, I don't know, before. Which should be first? This is first, this is second. But if it's a way of defining the action we're about to make, do, or sanctifying ourselves for the action, then it should be right before, right? It should be right before. And I think you hear this from the Me'iri. The Me'iri says you got to do it right before. He uses this explanation of the Ritva, and look how he formulates it. Let's take a look, bottom of page 2. Kfar bi'arna b'mishnah, shebracha le'achra'a hi tluya b'minog, habracha le'faneha, ena davatali b'minog, ela min adin. He's talking there about brachos anenin. Bebirchas hamitzvos pashut yoter b'shelefneho kidei sheyeh nikar shekavanato lemitzvah. Right, that's the first thing. Vehu sheamru kol mitzvos kulim nevarchalim over la'asiyatan ratzalomer tekef la'asiyatan. Tekef la'asiyatan, right? You have that lashon gemara brachas, takef the bracha achila, takef the smicha shchita, right? Takef the geula tefila. It has to be right afterwards, immediately afterwards. I don't think it's coincidental that the Me'iri's scope requirement of juxtaposition immediately before, right, comes right after his way of explaining the base of the halacha. Okay, any questions about this second point? Yes?
Is there a difference between the Me'iri and the first answer of the Ritva?
Is there a difference between the first answer? Well, he doesn't mention the sanctification stuff, right? But I think that's the same general direction, although the definitional stuff would more require the tightness, right? I think.
And when he says it has to be nicker, to like who? To him? To people?
You tell me, I assume nicker around, because that's what nicker means, right? Whether it's an objective revelation or a spread the word to other people revelation, I don't know if that's the distinction, right? Although it's a fair question, right? Okay. I think there's another assumption that this shita has, which is also very important. Here more important for tefillin than it is for the broader idea of over la'asiyasim, but we're interested in tefillin too, right? The second assumption is that the ma'asa mitzvah of putting on tefillin is the kshira, not the hanocha. Who spells out this assumption?
The Rambam.
The Rambam. The Rambam says, shekshirasim zohi asiyasim. And this obviously is very important. If you're saying you want to do the bracha right before the mitzvah, that's what we're doing after the hanacha, that assumes that the kshira is the mitzvah. One could disagree with this requirement, either because they say we don't need it right away, right before, or B, because they hold that the real ikar mitzvah is the hanacha. And this is also a debate. Take a look at page 3. I brought the tshuva of the Maharit. All right, the Maharit, who writes, he was asked about hanachas tefillin. Lama anu mevarchim laniach tefillin. Ve'en anu mevarchim likshar tefillin. O al kshirath tefillin. Right, based on the lashon of the pasuk, u'shartam li'os al yodecho. This really addresses the question. If the fact that we're making the bracha lahaniach, does that imply that the bracha actually is the hanacha? Right? Okay, that's a very good question. The Maharit has a lengthy tshuva here, as you can see from page 3. And basically what he says is, though we make the bracha lahaniach, the kshira is the ikra mitzvah. Why do we make the bracha lahaniach? Because really, we're not tying it, we don't actually tie it when we put our tefillin on, we're just tightening it. The real bracha should have been al hiduk tefillin, right? But we call that hanacha. Because really, what we're doing is putting it on. The strengthening of it is the way we put it on. But the bracha is not for the tying of it, but the putting on of the tefillin. And this is how a number of achronim justify the distinction between the bracha on bedikas chametz and the bracha on tefillin. The Taz on the bottom of page 3, top page 4, asks a very basic question. When we make a bracha on bedikas chametz, what bracha do we say? Al biur chametz. Really, the bracha is on the burning of the chametz the next day. So if you need this, you know, immediacy, you should make the bracha before biur chametz. Why are you making it before bedikas chametz? Doesn't that prove that the bracha doesn't have to be right before? So a lot of achronim make the following distinction between bedikas chametz and hanachas tefillin. The bedika is a mitzvah. It may not be the ikra mitzvah. It may not be the complete fulfillment of the mitzvah. And by the way, if you do bedika and don't find chametz, you're still mekayim a mitzvah. Let's say you do bedika, you don't find chametz, so you have no beer. And you're mekayim a mitzvah? Absolutely. And the bedika itself may help create this lo yimatzeh, for those who learned psachim this year, if anyone happens to know anyone. Right? Who's learned psachim recently. Right? Okay. Hanachas tefillin, say the achronim, is nothing. Meaning putting the thing on your arm is absolutely nothing. It's getting you in the zone for the mitzvah. It's like picking up the matzah towards your mouth. Is there any ma'aser mitzvah in that? Of course not. The mitzvah is eating the matzah. So this sharpens this point. As opposed to these achronim and the Maharit. The Rid, in his Psakim Momenachos, says otherwise. How do you see it? Because he quotes the whole Gemara here. And he says, in explaining why we make the bracha between the hanacha and the kshira, he says, "Ubetoch shehu asuk b'mitzvah, ka'over l'mitzvah dami. Dilo aso l'me'ute ela achar shenigmira ha'mitzvah." Oh, very interesting, right? How does the Rid justify why we're making the bracha between the hanacha and the kshira?
So
it's
like a mitzvah.
You're still over the mitzvah. Why? Because you're not finished the mitzvah yet. But you have begun it. The Rid sees the bracha between the hanacha and the kshira as a bracha toch kedei the mitzvah. This is very different than the Maharit, the Taz, the Rambam, right? So there are two reasons why we would prefer the bracha before the hanacha. There are two reasons why we would say that the bracha after the hanacha is not ideal or not necessary. Let me say it that way. Not necessary. One, because we don't require juxtaposition. Two, because we ideally want the bracha before the mitzvah and we hold the hanacha is the beginning of the mitzvah. And there are two stages, right? Putting it on the arm, there's already one level, and then tightening it is the second level. That's two parts of the process of putting the tefillin on the arm. And the question is the degree to which putting it on the arm is already part of the mitzvah. That's what we're talking about here, right? That's what we're talking about here. Okay. This second question. Oh, before I get to that, I believe the German Rishonim also debated this issue. Where do we see it? Now goes my manios, which are the notes on the Rambam written by the Maharami Rutenberg. The Maharami Rutenberg in his notes, how goes my manios, played an important role on introducing, spreading the Rambam amongst German, you know, lands. He wrote the comments as a way of, you know, getting people to learn Rambam. And he quotes a lot of the German Mesoras, you know, European, you know, French Mesoras on the Halacha. And he discusses here the Mitzvah of Lulav. Everyone understands the problem with making the bracha of lulav over la'asiyasan. If we want it to be when the mitzvah is already, you know, close to doing the mitzvah, you want to have it in your hands. But once you have it in your hands, you already owe it to the mitzvah, because it says ulakachtem lechem. As soon as you pick up the lulav, you yotze. So what's the solution we have for this?
Not derech gedila.
We pick up the esrog upside down, right? Not derech gedila, the way it grows. Absurd. Okay. Anyway, yeah, that's what we do. The question. Okay. Let's say a person picked up their lulav. It's very common. They picked it up the right way. Can they still make the bracha? So the Hagos Maimonides begins by quoting Ravina Simcha, who says, "Kol zman sh'adam asak b'mitzvah, mevarich b'tov u'mikri over la'asiyason, ela la'afuki shelo yevarich achar asiyason." This is like what we just saw in the Tosas Rid, right? Piskei Rid. And then he says, "What's my proof from v'raya mitzvilin?" Oh, the fact that you can make the bracha on the tefillin after anocha shows you that you can make the bracha toch kedei the mitzvah as long as you're not finished yet. Okay, like the Rid. But then he quotes the Rav Yoh, the great Rav Yoh, right? V'lo nir the Rav Yoh. And he quotes the Rishalmi that says, Mitzvah still in the name of Sayyid Vokhan, Rav Achai Omer over Lasiyasim, Rav Huna Omer Bishas Asiyasim. He quotes the Rishalmi that we don't have, interestingly, where there's a debate about this, right? About what we should be doing. He quotes another Gemara about Brachos. And then he says at the bottom, V'chein Tfilin. Sarech levarech kodim kshira dehainu hiduk shemahadek barosh. The Rav Yoh says something very pointed in defining things here. He says, no, you can't make the bracha when you're doing lulav. You got to do it before the mitzvah. Ah, you said by tefillin you put it on after the hanacha? Yeah, because you're doing it before the mitzvah. The mitzvah is the tying. The kshira, which is the hiduk, shemahadik barosh. Meaning, I can keep in mind, the example of the rosh is even sharper than the shalyad, as we'll see. The shalyad, at least, there's a tightening of the tefillin, right? The shalrosh, there's nothing, right? There's just fitting it. That's kshira. Wow. Wow, no? And that's what he said. That's the mitzvah. Now, this question also that just came up, the question of whether one can make a bracha toch kedei the mitzvah or not. Right, the Tosas Rid and Rabbeinu Simcha saying yes, the Rav Yoh seems to object to it. This may depend on the question we spoke about as well. If the bracha, the din is lifnei, right, if the din is lifnei, so then l'schorah, the din is lifnei, not toch kedei. But if the din is conjunction, juxtaposition, you want to connect it to the mitzvah, someone can understand that as long as it's connected to the mitzvah, it's okay. I mean, if it has to be connected, it's connected right before and connected during. It's also connected. In fact, the Ur Zeruah says you can make the bracha even after the mitzvah right away. The point is that you need to connect it to the mitzvah. Lav dafka lifnei the mitzvah. So that's the question we're asking if we summarize it. Is it a din of lifnei, as long as it's before? Or is it a din juxtaposed, which may require it on the one hand to be right before, but on the other hand, maybe during and right after would also be okay? Okay, so any questions about this second part of our conversation? So now I want to get up to point number three. Third and final point. And that is the interesting possibility of a chiluk here between the Shalrosh and the Shalyad. We talked about this a lot in the first month, about the Chefetz of Tzilin, because the Chefetz of Tzilin of Shalrosh and Shalyad is different. It's different both in the way the Batim and Parshiot appear, right? The fourness or the oneness. You know, those who have first month, you learn a lot more about this, right? It's different in the role of the straps. If you think about it, right, the shalrosh, you have a knot, and then the straps just go. The shalyad, it used to connect it to the yad. But now we're going to talk about the differences as far as the form of hanochas tefillin. Not just today, but we're using this as a transition to what we're going to be talking about, the sugya on daf lamed vav next week. Sach bein tefillah letefillah. And, you know, the question of the relationship between shalyad and shalrosh is both a quantitative and a qualitative question. When I say quantitative, I mean there's two tefillins, and is it one mitzvah, is it two mitzvahs, right? How do they relate to a quantitative? But obviously, there's also a question of qualitative. You have these two tefillins, it's like a brisker dream, right? You have two tefillins, and they're different, and so how different or similar are they? Jacob Herman is in the army. He sent me a question, this week's Parsha, Parsha's Matos. Hafaras Nidarim, of a wife and of a daughter. How similar or different than that? Mentions Inui Nefesh, by a wife's nedarim as opposed to this week's Parsha in Eretz Yisrael, as opposed to a daughter's neder. So does that show that the hafara by a wife is inherently different, or is it just one technical exception? I said, Jacob, this is exactly conceptual thinking. You have two, you got to be thinking of the relationship between the tracks, etc. Okay, so the same thing here. What's the similarity slash difference, the relative similarity difference between Shel Rosh and Shel Yad? And of course, it begins in the Psukim on exactly this point. What do I mean? When it talks about the Shel Yad, it says, Ukshartem liot al yodechok. Never says that by the Shel Rosh. By the Shel Rosh, it says, V'hayu letotafot ben erecha. It should be. Now, the truth is, in Sefer Shmos, as opposed to Sefer Dvarim, and as we know, the mitzvah of tefillin appears four times in the Torah. Twice in Shmos, and they're connected within one parak. Twice in Dvarim, and they're connected because they're part of the same unit, Kriya Shema, the two parshas of Kriya Shema. And of course, we got to discuss the relationship between the parshas of Shmos, parshas of Dvarim. There's a difference, because it doesn't say Kshartim in Shmos. But in Dvarim, it says Kshartim at the Shel Yad. So the question is, to what extent are they similar or different? And this issue is discussed most centrally by our Tosfos here. Do people have a chance to get to the Tosfos? Okay, well, we're going to do it anyway, right? The bottom of Lamed Hamed Bet, Mishas Hanocha V'Yad Shas Kshira. Talks here about a Kshira. Mikana Miyadaktik Rabbeinu Eliyahu. Shetzarech Adam Lekasher Tfilin B'chol Yom, right? Lekasher Tfilin B'chol Yom. What he meant, it seems, is every day you got to tie your tefillin. For Rabbeinu Tam, it furs the Ein Tzarech. If you had to tie the tefillin every day, it would be very shechiach, right? Interesting, maybe dependent upon that Gemara, machlokes in the Tanakam Rabbi Yehuda about whether it's shechiach or not. In any case, we have a machlokes in Rabbeinu Eliyahu and Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Eliyahu says you have to tie it every day. This Gemara supports him. It says Hanocha Ad Kshira. Rabbeinu Tam says no. What does the Kshira and the Pasuk mean? So let's look at the bottom of the Lamed Hamed a bit. The Od Medaktik Rabbeinu Tam. Tehach Kshira Lav Mamishi. Doesn't really mean Kshira. How do I know? There's a Sugya in Erev and Daf Tzadi Zayin which talks about how the Kesher Shel Tefillin is a Kesher Shel Kayama. If you had to take it apart and put it together every day, it wouldn't be Kesher Shel Kayama. Aye, what about when it says here, Mishas Hanocha V'ad Kshira, top of Lam Vav Med Aleph, Mefarash Rabbeinu Tam, Da'ach Kshira, Hainu Ahiduk, Shemahatko Metzantzim Obirosho. And he gives other cases where this language is used. That's the Machlokas. Everyone understands the Machlokas. So now let's skip a few lines down. Third of the narrow lines. Umistavra says Tosas. Now it's Tosas speaking. Umistavra kedivir Rabbeinu Tam betfilin shel Rosh ukedivir Rabbeinu Leo betfilin shel Yad. Whoa! The difference between shel Rosh and shel Yad? Dichtiv b'shel Yad ukshartam liot al yodecha demashma dekol shoshem iniach tzarech likshira. Whoa! And he brings proofs from later Gemara that people can see in the halftime. The difference between shel Rosh and shel Yad. Wow! And this, of course, is our minog. We don't do an exact kshira on the shel yad, but we do a something, right? One could conceivably have the shel yad fitted like the shel rosh, right? You could have, you know, your shel yad based on your arm and put it on, and then just put it on, right? We do it. Have you seen any rishonim that we saw on this sugi who seem to sound a little like this? Let's go back to the Rambam, the first source we saw on page 2. Maybe we didn't notice it. The Rambam writes, "B'chol ha-mitzvos kulo nevarech aleihem kodem la'asiyatam. Lefikach tzarech levarech al ha-tfilo shel yad. Huh? Achar hanocha al ha-kiboris kodem kshirasan, shekshirasan zohi asiyasan." Makes sense, right? Does the Rambam hold that regarding the shel yad, you should make the bracha before you put it on your head? We, of course, do both the same way. We put the shel yad on, make the bracha, put the shel rosh on, we make the bracha. Does the Rambam hold just make the most, supposed to make the bracha on the shel rosh before you put it on your head? Maybe, right? Because, right, there's no kshira. There's no kshira because there doesn't need to be a kshira. The ma'aseh mitzvah is the placement, right? Okay, so there's a lot of food for thought. On Sunday, Mitzvah Shem, we're going to begin the Flamed Vav and Aleph, the most important sugi regarding the relationship between the Shavosh and the Shalyad. One mitzvah, two mitzvahs, continuation, different nature, sach bein tefillah letefillah. And we'll be continuing the Flamed Vav, Mitzvah Shem, dinei hanochas tefillah, and all kinds of dinim here. After Mincha, Mitzvah Shem, we're going to discuss plans for tonight. I understand last night in the Beit Midrash, people were longing for me. They were lonely and they were thinking, look at that target, this is